And so today, y'all, we continue in our preaching series. We continue in our preaching series, Baggage Check. And as we said on last week, far too many people, far too many of us, that we go through life with these heavy weights, with this baggage that we carry. Our past hurts, pains, all the stuff that we've been through, that we carry it with us through life. But do you not know that the same Jesus that died to save your soul is the same Jesus that died to take on the weights that you carry? And so you don't have to carry it anymore, that you can release it. We said on last week, you can let it go, as we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. The whole purpose of this preaching series is to empower us and to encourage us to leave the past in the past so that we can move forward in the future that God has for you and for me. There are certain things in life that we just need to learn how to let go of. That's what we talked about on last week. So if you would please turn with me in your Bibles or your electronic devices or look to the screen to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, as I read through the New Living Translation of the Bible. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Be careful, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. And so as we continue this preaching series, Baggage Check, I want to speak from the thought today, the heart of a burden bearer. The heart of a burden bearer. You may be seated in the house today. Thank you so much, ushers. So some time ago, I was sitting in the airport. I was at my gate. I was waiting for the flight to leave, And I was sitting there rather than piddling around on my phone. I was just looking around and sitting at the gate. I just happened to look through the window and I was looking out at the flight line. I was looking at, you know, all that was taking place before me. I was watching the planes as they landed, watching planes take off, just waiting for my plane to take off, praying that my plane would not be canceled, that it would in fact take off. I watch those folks with those paddles in their hands, you know, these folks that stand out there, they're bold enough to stand in front and behind airplanes, and, you know, they guide the airplane into the slot, they guide it out so it can get on the runway. I was just watching. I watched in the distance emergency vehicles that stood on standby in case anything bad happened. I watched as the food trucks would come up and they would begin to load food into the planes, the Cokes and the peanuts, you know, those great meals, you know, load stuff into the planes. But something really caught my attention. So something really caught my eye. It was the baggage handlers. I watched y'all as they would pull up in the truck, and they have all of this luggage, all of this baggage in the truck, and a little conveyor belt that they back up to the plane, and they begin to put bags on the conveyor belt, and it drops it into the belly of the plane. But y'all, I'm looking at these rascals out there. They don't care nothing about your luggage. I mean, stuff is falling on the ground. They just pick it up and throw it into the plane. They could care less about the luggage. They just load luggage. They're just loading baggage. You would think all the money you pay for an airline ticket that they would take a little bit more care of how they handle your baggage. Let me ask you a question. As you journey through life, who handles your baggage? Who helps you with the heavy weights that you have to carry in life? And our hope is that they would not be like the baggage handler on the airplane, that they would mishandle your baggage, mishandle your issues. Here's the reality. None of us, or most of us, don't like to carry baggage. But I found out something else in life, that there are people that have been carrying baggage for so long that it's almost as if their baggage has become a part of who they are. They're so accustomed to carrying that heavy weight, and it still weighs them down, but they refuse to let it go. They keep carrying the baggage. God wants you to know today that he wants you to release it and to let it go. But the question at mind is, who's carrying your baggage right now? And we know what baggage is. It's those past conditions, those past circumstances, those attitudes that weigh us down. Fear, baggage, guilt, baggage, shame, hurt, failures that rob us of the abundant life that God has for us. It's baggage, y'all. Those private secret things of the past that hinder us, that block us, those things that trouble us, those things that hold us down, those things that hold us hostage, these are things of baggage. The challenges, the problems, the crises that block our success, that block our victory and our effectiveness. This is baggage, and it's heavy, y'all. So, who's handling your baggage? As we look into our suitcases of suffering, what do we do with it? Who handles it? Who carries it? Who helps you with it? So let me ask you a question. Have you ever, come on, look at me, don't look around. A husband and wife, look at me, don't look around. Have you ever tried to communicate something to someone? Something that's deep or hurtful or painful? You're speaking your heart. You're speaking your truth. You're trying to lay it out there. And they'd be like, okay, pass me the salt. It's as if they never heard a word you were saying. It's as if they never felt you. Look at me. Don't look around, y'all. Come on. But I'm so glad that we have a God that understands every ache, every pain, every fear, every hurt, every worry, every stress, every strain. So here in the book of Galatians is the charter of Christian freedom. Paul writes in Galatians to let the church know that, listen, they are free. That the gospel that he preached to them from the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ that set them free, was the gospel that would keep them free. That there were this group, this faction called Judaizers that tried to convince them that, listen, not only do you have to follow Jesus and the gospel, but you also have to follow the Old Testament law. That you have to hold the two closely. And so Paul even says to them, who has bewitched you? Who's fooled you to tell you that? That listen, you are saved by grace through faith. That's how it happens. Not through Old Testament law. You don't have to submit to that anymore. That's what he's telling them. So Paul writes to set the record. He rewrites the second record straight. And so here's what I want us to know. And here's what Paul wanted to let them know as we look at our text for today. That not only were they saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only were they set free from sin, but they were also set free to serve and love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Did you hear me today? That you have been set free by the power of the gospel. You have been set free by Jesus. You have been set free from sin. But when you look at your brother or your sister next to you, he also sets you free to love them, not hate them, not talk about them, not misuse them, but to love them and to bear their burdens. Bear one another's burden. That's the emphasis today in the text, that we're all called to be burden bearers. The Galatians were also guilty of backbiting and devouring one another, y'all, that they would devour. Can you imagine biting and devouring? The imagery is animals, wild animals that rah, rah, rah. They're devouring, they're fighting, they're biting each other like wild dogs. And so Paul describes it that way, that they're not really liking it, they're not loving on each other. And so they needed a critical heart change. And so, but Paul reminds them that they are burden bearers. But what does a burden bearer look like, y'all? How should our hearts beat as burden bearers? How should our hearts be shaped as burden bearers? What do we need to be called God's burden bearers? Certainly not to abuse each other, not to control each other, not manipulate each other, but have genuine concern for one another. We have been given the responsibility and the privilege of serving each other in so many different ways. But one of the main ways I can think of is to be a burden bearer, to share somebody else's worry and frustration and pain, that you and I are called to be burden bearers. Hallelujah, somebody. And so as we look at our text for today, let's look at some characteristics of what it looks like to be a baggage handler or a burden bearer. To start with this, the heart of a burden bearer is informed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's right here in the text. Dear brothers and sisters, I love the way that starts. Whenever Paul or Peter or any other, when they're doing their right, they start, dear brothers and sisters. One of the most gracious things that we can consider about each other, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly, stop right there. Now some translations say spiritual. And we have to be careful when we use this word spiritual in life, because spiritual folks in the world, you're religious, you can be mystical, you can be philosophical and all of this other stuff, but that's not what Paul is talking about. The biblical idea of being spiritual or godly comes from 5:16, Galatians 5:16, those who walk are led by the Holy Spirit, that we're to be led by the Spirit of God, guided by the Spirit of God. Our aim and our goal as believers is to be Spirit-led. The Spirit knows the heart, and He searches all things. When sharing others' burdens, giving them advice, comforting people, relief, it should always be bathed in biblical principles. And the only way we can do that is if we are led by, guided by the Holy Spirit. You who are godly, you who are spiritual, we're to bear each other's burdens. Then we're to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, His wisdom, His guidance. Think about it this way. What if you were traveling through a deep, dark jungle somewhere, some rainforest somewhere, but you didn't know your way through? But you had two people that could help you. One is a person that was born in the jungle, born in the rainforest. They know it like the back of their hand, y'all. They just know it. And they can guide you anywhere you need to go. But then there's this other person, listen, they got a map, but that's all they have. They don't have a clue. And they can barely read the map. Now, which person would you want to be your guide to take you through that jungle? The person that knows everything, that they are, that's what the Holy Spirit is. That He searches us and He knows everything about everything, that He is our comfort, but He's also our God. That's why we need Spirit-led people. We ought to be Spirit-led people as we serve as burden bearers. Not the Spirit-filled people of the world, the card readers. They can tell you your horoscope. I'm a Gemini. Not the new thought spiritual leaders of today. Not people that know pop psychology, but people that are filled with the Spirit of God. People that know how to pray and to get a prayer through. People that know the Word of God and have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us good advice. That's the kind of burden bearers that God is calling for in the days in which we live. Not only that, the heart of a burden bearer is gentle and not judgmental. Read with me a little further in the text. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. That you are to help them. Some translations say restore. And the word restore is an important word because it's the image of a broken bone being set in order. It's the image of a limb that's out of joint, but it's placed back into the joint, back into its right place. That God has called you and me to help people, to restore people, to put them back on the right path. In the spirit of meekness, in gentleness or humility. We see that in Galatians 5 in the fruit of the Spirit. And this gentleness or this humility or this meekness means having an attitude of meekness that is patiently submissive in every offense with no desire to get revenge or retribution. You ever try to help some folk and they don't want your help? That God has called you in a situation, I'm trying to help you up. They don't want your help. You know, they want to smack your hand. They want to tell you about yourself. And some people want to tell you off. But even in those situations, y'all, we can't just leave people high and dry. That if we are led by the Spirit, His wisdom and His power, that He'll show us how to talk to each other, even if they don't want to hear it, but we do it patiently and submissively without wanting to get revenge or retribution. Listen, people may slap your hand. People may say some bad words to you. People may not take it well. Listen, you come right, they come wrong. You go high, they go low. That's okay. That we can't be in the business of just canceling folk out, saying that they don't matter. So Paul has in mind those that may have fallen into by the Judaizers. They're believing what they're saying. They're trying to hold on to the Old Testament and to the gospel. I mean, people that are just simply falling into sin. I know this about life too. Sometimes the sin that you fall into is not your sin. It's what other folk did to you. It's what happened in your life. And so whether it's you falling into sin or whether it's some sin that's happened to you because of somebody else, listen, you need a burden bearer, somebody to come by your side. That's what we're to be to one another, church, burden bearers. Don't be quick to cancel out folks because they're kind of messy. I'm talking to the church this morning. Don't look around, look at me. Y'all know some messy folk at the church across the street, don't you? But aren't we really quick just to cancel folk out because they messy? Amen. So every burden again is not ours. There's some burdens that we carry, some sins that we need to get rid of. And sometimes it's just living in a fallen world. It's stuff that happens to us. But the concern I think Paul has that we should not be quick to become Judge Judy's or Judge Mathis's, to judge people and to point our fingers at, ooh, look at what you did. Listen, when people are carrying baggage, we shouldn't ignore them. We shouldn't gossip about them. We shouldn't use their sin to inflate who we think we are. But we're called to repair that which is broken. To restore people to wholeness by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God called you and me to do. That's what He called us to be, baggage handlers, burden bearers. Which takes me to my next point quickly. Listen, the heart of a burden bearer is honest about their own condition. Look with me at verse 3. Look at verse 3. It says, if you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. If you think you're too important or you think you are something when you are nothing, you're probably nothing. But you're surely not the something or the someone that really tries to help people bear their burdens. You know, here's the reality. Some people really believe, y'all, that they are above other things and they are above you. No duh. There are people in this world, Terrell, that think they are better than you for whatever reason. They really believe that they are better than you, that they're more righteous than you, they're more holier than you are. But none of us are righteous apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nobody is better than anybody else. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you think you're that important, if you think you're something when you're nothing, then you're nothing. You're not that important. That's what Paul said. So if you're quick to gossip about people, the people that are struggling and going through, if you're quick to judge people, if you're quick to whisper about people, you're probably one of those people that think you are somebody when you are nobody. So be careful what you say about people. As you huddle around and you talk to friends and you get in your cliques and you get in your, be careful what you're saying about people. If they don't hear it, God does. He's listening. We are called to be burden bearers. So there's this story about a colonel that he had just recently put on full bird colonel, and so he's in his office, y'all. He has everything together, everything in his place, his nice plush big office, and then there's a knock at the door, and it's Private Johnson at the door. But so the colonel, he picks up the telephone and he begins to speak loudly. "Hello, Mr. President. Yes, sir. Everything is going well. We've got the mission in mind. We've got everything in order. Everything is going well, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Private Johnson knocked at the door. Did. "Hold on, Mr. He ain't talking to nobody on the phone, y'all. Talking to nobody. "Hold on, Mr. President. Come in." So Private Johnson comes into his office. He stands in front. He salutes him. He said, "Private Johnson, what can I do? I got the president on the line." He says, "Sir, I just came to hook up your telephone." You're not that important. I'm not that important. None of us are really that important. I've learned something about God can move you right out of the way and use somebody else. We're not that important. I'm just glad that God used me, y'all. God, if you can use anybody, use me. If you can use anybody, use my mouth, use my hands. Because I realize I'm not that important. The heart of a burden bearer is honest about their own condition. And then this, the heart of a burden bearer is aware of their own spiritual responsibility. This is a good one, y'all. Y'all need to hear this one. Look at verses 4 and 5. "Pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself. You won't need to compare yourself to someone. Stop comparing yourself to other folk. Stop it. For we are each responsible for our own conduct." So Paul is talking about the kind of heart that you really kind of see in verse 3 is self-deception. That in verse 3, you know, he's talking about the person that thinks they're better than other people. They're all of that in a bag of chips. And they're not even a bag of chips. They're nothing. But it's the same kind of self-deception in verse 4. But here we see that the roots of self-deception are fed by this dangerous soil of comparing ourselves to other people. My. We don't do that in the church, do we? We don't do that as believers, do we? "Oh, look at what she drive, and look at what he drive, and look at where they live." That we compare ourselves too often to other people. So if we're consumed with self-righteousness, then our failures of others, it feeds our self-deception. It's like this. "Man, you know, Dexter Brown, she don't tell nobody. Yeah, y'all know what he's going through, don't you? Yeah, y'all know what he did. You know, it's awful what happened to him. Man, I tried to tell him to do what was right. I'm glad I'm not Reverend Brown. But guess what? I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him." Can you sense that self-righteousness? That I'm comparing myself to him and I'm seeing myself as better than he is. But by the grace of God, y'all, where would we be? Do I have some Bible belief? But by the grace of God, where would we be? We're not that important, but by God's grace, y'all, we would be in the gutter. It's only because God's grace and mercy that we are where we are. So we have to be careful, listen, to not compare ourselves to other people. But so what should we do instead? And so Paul talks about it in the test, that we're to test or pay attention to our own work and find satisfaction in our own work. Listen, beloved, you have been called by God to do a work. You have been called by God to serve him in some manner, in some way. All of us have. That's what he's saying to the church at Galatia. That's what he's saying to us. We have all been called to do a work, to do a certain thing. But and so here's the thing you need to know as a burden bearer. As we're sharing for and caring for the burdens of other people, listen, that's why you have to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit to know what it is that he's saying for you to take on. And say, so that ain't for me. Let me get you somebody else that can help you with that. That's not on me right there. Let me give you a spiritual counselor. Let me give you a psychologist or a psych that can help you with the stuff that you need help with. You need to know what you can carry and cannot carry. And here's the thing, too. Don't let people dump all their stuff on you. Did you hear what I said? Because there's some burdens, there's some stuff that people, listen, that's between you and God. God said, this is your burden. That God gave you this. Because I found this out in life, y'all. I found this out in life. Too oftentimes, people be quick to throw their mess on you, their burdens and their issues on you, and they go somewhere, they sitting back eating a cheeseburger. Let me know when you're done with that, when you got it fixed for me. That in a sense, yeah, we're to care for others. We're to share their burdens, help carry those burdens. But there's some issues that folk want to deal with that's between them and God. God has given you a thing to do, a service to do. God has given you a spiritual gift to be used for the body. And the same thing for me. And so we have to make sure that we're carrying our own burdens as well. Don't make your responsibility my burden. The heart of the burden bearer says, I'm responsible for my own stuff, but I have to be careful too, because maybe God is holding me accountable to help somebody else out of their own mess, out of their own issues, out of their own sins, out of the stuff that happened to them in the past. I learned this. A drowning person, listen, they don't need a lecture. They need a rope. They need some help. And so we're to bear each other's burdens. I'm almost done. There's one more thing I really want us to look at in the text, and it's going back to verse 2, which I think is the emphasis. It's the heart and the foundation of this pericope of Scripture, these verses that we use this morning. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. The heart of a burden bearer is eager to obey the law of Christ. Command of Jesus. It's the focused thought. The foundation that holds these verses together. That is interesting when you look at the text that here are people that are eager to follow the law. Old Testament law. Some might say the law of Moses. Those Old Testament principles and regulations that God required of his people if they were to be identified as God's people in the Old Testament. But they're eager to follow this old law versus the law of Christ. And some may be asking, what do you mean, preacher? What is this law of Christ? I'm glad you want to know this morning. Because Jesus said it, he said it himself as he's debating with, or they're debating with him, these Pharisees, these religious leaders that are saying, Jesus, tell us, which one of Moses' law is the greatest of them all? All they wanted to do was trap him up. Whatever he said, they would refute it, they would debate it, but Jesus shut them down. What did Jesus say to them? Let me tell you what the greatest law is. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like, you should love your neighbor as yourself. That shut them down, y'all. That's what the law of Christ is. It's a law of love. That we're to love one another, that we're to love God. Now love was not a new thing to them. But when you look at what Jesus said, the kind of love he's talking about, y'all, it's a sacrificial love. Yeah. It's a love that will give its all, that will give its last, the way Jesus did when he died on the cross for you and me. Do you have a sacrificial love for your brother or your sister in Christ? Or will you pass them by and ignore them because you're too busy, too much is going on, but they need you? They're hurt. They're in pain. They're grieving. And they need to be comforted. Well, you have a sacrificial love that goes beyond the norms of our society. Would you give your last for your brother or your sister, your brother or sister in Christ? Can I talk to some burden bearers as we're leaving today? I know we got a whole lot of them in the house today. I thank God for the burden bearers that we have here at Living Faith. Burden bearers that are willing to carry baggage. To sit down and listen to people about some of their secrets. Some of the dark things that have happened in their lives, some of the addictions that they've had in the past, maybe some addictions that they may have right now, some of the habits, the propensities that they've had in their lives, some of their past hurts and pains. I'm glad we've got some people in the house today that can say, listen, if you have an issue, if you have a worry, if you have a problem, I'm here for you to help you. I'm here to help you bear your burdens. I'm talking to some burden bearers in the house today. That you refuse to be like the baggage handler at the airport. Dumping and dropping stuff everywhere, damaging baggage. But we're the kind of people that God has called to help people with their issues. And sometimes, maybe we can't do a whole lot. Sometimes, maybe all it is holding someone by their hand. Think about this. When a woman is in labor, you know, she's hurting. I can't say I know to the extent of which she's hurting, but my wife having children, I can tell she was hurting. By the grimace on her face, by some of the yells that she was hurting. And when a woman is in labor, you don't know how long that she's going to be in pain. You don't know how long the birthing process will be. And the best that we can do sometimes, brothers, is just sit there. We can wipe the sweat off their face. We can pat them on the back, and we can hold their hand. And sometimes that's the best that we can do. And that's expressing and that's showing love to a woman that's in labor. But here's the thing. God is taking you through a birthing process. Yeah. That God is birthing something great in us and through us. Yeah. But God is calling for us in this time as we're going through the birthing process to help each other bear the burden. And sometimes what that looks like is just holding somebody by their hand and letting them know that you're with them, that you love them, that you care for them. Sometimes that's all that we can do. But I found out something else. There's one who can do more than simply hold your hand. He can hold your hand. But the one I'm talking about, that he is the burden bearer. No matter how heavy your burden is, he can carry your burden. How do you know? He said it in Matthew 11. He said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You have to understand what that word yoke means. A yoke is it's this wooden instrument that oxen would carry on their shoulders. One by one, put this wooden instrument over their shoulder, and as they were plowing the field and the heavy weight, they would walk together. They would stay together as they plow through the field. That's what a yoke was. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke." That it's another piece of wood called Calvary's cross. That take my yoke upon you, and I'll give you rest. Come here, Brother Mike. Come here, Brother. It looks like this, y'all. That as Kevin Love is going through life, and listen, you stay right there, Mike. And I'm struggling. I'm carrying my weight. You know, y'all can see this right now, but somebody carries some stuff you can't see right. It's heavier than this. And I'm carrying, I'm doing the best I can to carry my weight, but it gets too heavy. But Jesus says, listen, come to me. Come, and I come to Jesus. And what Jesus, as we're walking together, will you drop it off on him? Give the heavy to him. Jesus can carry your heavy. He wants to free you today as you walk and journey through life. Jesus wants to carry you. Will you give him your heavy today? Will you give him your pain? Will you give him your weight? Will you give him your hurt? Will you give him your stress? Will you give him your strength? Let Jesus carry your weight, and he will give you rest. He will give you freedom so you can run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Mount up with wings as an eagle, and you can fly because you're free in Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. That's what it looks like. And that's what Jesus is saying to somebody. Come to me right now. Give it to me. Give me your burden. Let's walk together in life, but give me the heavy. Can Jesus carry your heavy? Amen and amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today.
Thank you, Lord.
That there are people in this life that some of us have trusted with some dark things, some secret things, and they mishandled our baggage. That they didn't give us good information. They didn't give us the kind of wisdom that your Holy Spirit provides. God, according to your word, you have called us as the family of God to all be burden bearers, to share each other's burdens when we are hurting and we're down, our past baggage, the stuff that some still deal with. You've called us to help them with it. Help us to discern, Lord God, what your Spirit is saying to us as individuals, that we would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us and know who it is we're to help and exactly how it is we're to help them, even if all it is just holding their hand, having a listening ear, willing to send out an encouraging text or an email. We're called to be burden bearers. But thank you even more that Jesus is our ultimate burden bearer. Yes. That we can cast our cares on him. That he called us to save us and to bear our burdens and to send us into the world that we can help somebody else. And there are people that don't know you in the pardon of their sins. The greatest weight that they carry is a weight of sinfulness. And perhaps there are some that are waiting to drop that weight, but how can they drop the weight unless they hear? And how can they hear unless there be a preacher? And how can we preach unless we are sent? That you're sending all of us within the walls of the church, outside of the walls of the church, to reach somebody for your kingdom. Because they're carrying the weight of sin. You called us to be brothers and sisters in Christ because we still carry baggage even after we are saved. Stuff we need to let go of. But you called us to walk beside each other, to help one another. But most of all, you are our burden bearer. And for that, we are grateful. So, Father, I pray right now in this moment, if there's anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know you in the pardon of their sins, that they would release it to you today, that you gave the great invitation, come to me. If you're weary and your burdens are too heavy, you're tired of carrying around the baggage, you said we can bring it to you. I pray, oh God, that by your Spirit, you speak to the hearts of those that are listening in by way of Facebook Live, those that are in the house today. If they have yet to surrender their lives to you, that they would do that to you today. Your word is true, that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in you should not perish but have everlasting life. We all admit that we sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We repent and we turn from our sins and we turn to Jesus. We confess Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our lives. We confess with our mouths, we believe with our hearts that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one that came to save us and to relieve us of our baggage. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.